Voran. Hakloja kan en jemol slave for een nichne veils pillere. Natuv soelisch gevore, voran leger kemeren. Lahan ik milem gul gotuva hoog en jemolich. Chromi hood en shears rebrooi. Sara hoor heen te jager. Ran ik me a chloanak heen a riestlum heen, jemar. Er is nog het missen roelig, graag groos, Jim Woolly Eend. Ach, van een klein is het af halaf, is kalaf de meeuw, genoeg rum. Graag halaf is er een schreef, Jim, gefakkes meet er lulia.
A spring. At the far edge of a mountain, there is a green nook where the deer eat watercress. In its side, a great unruffled eye of water, a shapely jewel-like spring. One day I came with my love to the side of the remote brook. She bent her head down to its brink, and it did not look the same again. I reached the distant little green many a time again, alone, and when I looked into the swirling water, there was in it only the face of my treasure trove. But the glens were going away, and the pillared mountains were not waiting for me. The hills did not look as if my chanced-on treasure had been seen.
This poem, of course, shows again these assonances very strongly, I think, in this particular poem. I think this one, probably more than any of the others, shows these kind of assonances.
Hakloniak and the Nimult slave for a nichna fails, Billera. Natuv soulish give all re, for an leger kemeren.
Is this incident, if we can call it a particular incident, is this based again on a real incident or something that you actually imagined as a poem?
I don't think it is based on a real incident.
Remember that I mentioned about your way of humanising landscape. I noticed that in this one, for instance, you've got...
In its side, a great unruffled eye of water.
Is this something that happens in Gaelic poetry previous to your own?
I think it is a perfectly natural thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very Gaelic thing, but, for instance, if you take the word ridge in English... No, the Gaelic for that is draim. Mm-hmm. And...
Draim, of course, meaning...
The back.
The back.
And how you use the word for a neck and for an arm, the forearm and the upper arm, and the knee is so very often used, and the shin for what you might call topographical features. I think it is very Gaelic, but I think...
It's not exclusively Gaelic.
It's not exclusively Gaelic, but I think the Gaels are more inclined to it than other languages that I can think of.
I was just wondering, looking at this poem again, when you were writing your poems, were there any particular poets that influenced you either in Gaelic or in English, even though you're writing in Gaelic?
Well... I find it very difficult to say. You see, when I wrote English as well as Gaelic, I was affected by people like the early Pound and Eliot and people like that. It's curious that I had a kind of youthful mania for Shelley, but I don't think he influenced my own verse in the least. Blake, I think, did. And, of course, in Gaelic, it was more the anonymous song and probably William Ross.
I suppose one of the differences that people would notice if they could actually read Gaelic, in comparison with modern English poetry, certainly, is the musical quality of your poetry. Obviously, you believe strongly in the oral side of poetry, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I believe very strongly in the oral side of poetry. I always have. And I think it is difficult for a Gael to be otherwise inclined. First, when you think that practically all Gaelic poetry up to this century, practically all, was meant to be sung or in the case of the old heroic ballads, to be chanted. It's a very, 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 very strong tradition in Gaelic until this century. And after all, it's awfully difficult to get out of your roots altogether, you know.